Good afternoon. I'm Latoria Martin with CDP's Office of Trade Relations, and today's webinar is on the modernization of Broker Regulations 111. Before we begin, we'd like to let everyone know that this presentation is being recorded. All attendees are muted and may not share audio or video during the webinar. However, you may submit your questions in the chat box. If you require closed captioning during the live event or when viewing at a later date and time, you may enable the feature by selecting the CC icon in the lower right-hand corner of your screen. Now I would like to pass it over to Ms. Sherilyn McCann.
Thanks, Latoria, and good morning and good afternoon, everybody. I see that our participant list is creeping up there to about 930, and we're really excited to be chatting with you today, so thank you for your time. As Tori said, my name is Sherry McCann. I'm the director of CDP's Office of Trade, Commercial Operations, Revenue, and today we are hosting a webinar focused on the broker modernization regulations. So as I presume everybody here knows, our broker regulations are found in Title 19 of the Code of Federal Regulations, Section 111, which we refer to as 19 CFR 111. We published a notice of proposed rulemaking, which we will refer to as the NPRM, Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, on the proposed updates to these broker regulations 2 years ago in June of 2020. We have adjudicated all the comments that were received in response to the NPRM, and we've taken into consideration the concerns and the questions that have been raised in those comments. As we'll review in a slide shortly, CDP has drafted the final rule, which when published will finalize the updates to the broker regulations. The final rule is currently under review with the Department of the Treasury and the Department of Homeland Security. So our objective in conducting today's webinar is to refamiliarize our trade stakeholders with the proposed regulatory changes included in the NPRM, I'm gonna say that more slowly, in advance of the final rule publication. We will publish guidance. We will conduct additional webinars when the final rule is published. So as such, for today's webinar, we are not able to provide information on the final rule itself, nor are we able to speculate when it may be published. And as such, I ask the participants to refrain from submitting questions in the chat on those topics. That said, we are confident that the information we are presenting today is tremendously valuable and will serve to refresh our trade partners on the changes proposed to the broker regulations, with more information to come at the time of publication of the final rule. So what we're going to cover today, we're going to broker regulation timeline and not the estimated publication date, but really where we are in the process of getting to those finalized broker regs. We will cover a summary of the proposed changes. That's the refresh that we're talking about. We'll cover broker guidance and resources, and we will also cover our plan for transitioning those brokers who only have a district permit or district permits to a national permit. So we'll cover Q&A with any time remaining, and I presume we'll have plenty of time remaining for your questions that you're entering in the chat pod. So we can jump to the next slide. I would love to introduce to you all the members who are working on this. The broker management branch is led by Melba Hubbard, who is our branch chief. Other members of the broker management branch include Janine Delgado and Chris Ha, who are both international trade specialists and will be speaking on today's webinar. We also have as members of the broker management branch, Hannah Arnold, Heather Cheshire, Marcia Clark, Kimberly Mack, and Mariana Santibanez Doyle. We do have in the slide the broker management branch contact email, which is brokermanagement@cbp.dhs.gov. I also want to take this opportunity to introduce a key member of our 111 team, and that is Ms. Claudia Bernhardt, who is an attorney with our Office of Trade Regulations and Rulings. Claudia is a critical member of our team with vast knowledge on the NPRM, and Claudia is also participating in today's webinar. So with that, Tori, we can advance to the next slide and just give a visual on a statement that I made earlier on where we are in the rulemaking process. So we talked about the NPRM being published 2 years ago in June of 2020. Comments were submitted, CBP has adjudicated those comments, we have drafted the final rule, and that final rule is currently with DHS of the Treasury. Next steps will be final rule publication in the Federal Register, and we will have a delayed final rule effective date. So those are the next steps that we are laying out. And so with that quick introduction, I would like to turn the webinar over to Janine Delgado of our broker management branch. Janine?
Yes, I forgot to unmute. Thank you, Sherry.
You're very good.
Hi, everybody. So as Sherry mentioned, my name is Janine Delgado. I am an international trade specialist at the Broker Management Branch. Today, I am going to review some of the key changes proposed in the NPRM. Oh, I'm sorry. Tori, can you advance the slide, please? So there are more proposed changes in the NPRM than what we are going to review in this hour. Our focus is on some of those key changes we think you are most interested in that we've proposed. I do recommend that you all take time to review the NPRM language to refamiliarize yourself with what CBP is proposing in the published NPRM. So in the next few slides, I'm going to cover these NPRM components, establishing one national permit for each broker, the broker fee changes and electronic payment, the broker reporting and electronic data interface, customs business in the U.S. territory and knowledgeable point of contact, the broker-client relationship, responsible supervision control requirements, and cybersecurity and records requirements. Rory, can you advance, please? So under the one national permit for each broker, the NPRM proposes to eliminate the district permit and transition to a single permit framework. That's the national permit. That will operate at the national level within the customs territory of the United States. It's also proposing to eliminate the need for brokers to request permit waivers and maintain district offices, obviously, because without a district permit, there's no need to request for a waiver and no need to maintain an office in a district. Under the, and I'll cover the plan that we have put together for this transition in a later slide. The broker fee changes and electronic payment. The NPRM proposes to increase the license application fee for individual and organizations to better align with CBP's processing expenses. CBP conducted a fee study which demonstrated that CBP's costs are significantly greater than the current license application fees we're collecting. Those are the $200 fees per application. So CBP is proposing to increase the fees to $300 for an individual license and $500 for an organization license application to recover some of those costs. CBP also proposes to expand payment options to include electronic fee payment. This would expand on our current use of the eCBP portal to collect additional broker fee types beyond what we're currently collecting through the portal, which is the exam application fee and the triennial status fee. Under broker reporting and electronic data interface, the NPRM is proposing the use of CBP-approved EDI systems for a number of broker reporting activities. CBP is proposing allowing the broker to report through the ACE portal, that's through an ACE portal account, point of contact information for the broker, designated record-keeping contact information for the broker, the broker's change of address information, and the proposal would also codify the current accepted practice of reporting your new and terminated employees through the portal. Next slide, please. Under the customs business in the U.S. territory and knowledgeable point of contact, CBP is proposing that a customs business be conducted within the customs territory of the United States. That would codify the current practice that we have in place requiring customs business to be within the U.S. customs territory. And in the second bullet, the NPRM proposes to require that brokers designate a knowledgeable point of contact to be available to CBP during and outside of normal business hours to be able to respond to customs business issues. Proposal also includes maintaining a current POC information with CBP. Under the broker-client relationship, CBP is proposing requiring brokers to obtain a customs power of attorney directly from the importer of record or drawback claimant and not via a freight forwarder. This proposal is intended to ensure that the brokers have a direct relationship with that importer of record and to clarify that the freight forwarder cannot be a barrier to broker-client communications. CBP also proposes to require brokers to report when brokers terminate representation of their client as a result of determining that the client is attempting to defraud the U.S. government or otherwise commit to any criminal act against the U.S. government. And then the last bullet, the NPRM proposes CBP to require brokers to advise the client on the proper corrective action required in cases where noncompliance, error, or omission is identified by the broker, and require the broker to retain a record of that communication with the client. Next slide, please. Okay, so under responsible supervision and control, CBP is proposing requiring brokers to submit a supervision plan with the national permit application that would detail how the entity intends to exercise responsible supervision and control over its customs business. CBP is also proposing to update and add factors related to responsible supervision and control to reflect the transition to a national permit framework. We currently have 10 factors and the number would increase in the proposal. And CBP proposes requiring brokers to employ a sufficient number of licensed brokers to ensure responsible supervision and control over their customs business. Under cybersecurity and records requirements, CBP is proposing requiring brokers to maintain their broker records, including electronic records, within the U.S. Customs territory. Records maintenance within the U.S. has already been addressed in a 2020 ruling, and the NPRM proposes to codify our practice and expectations. In this last bullet, CBP would require brokers to notify CBP when there has been a breach of electronic or physical broker records and provide the compromised importer record numbers. So that those are the main points we wanted to bring to your attention that are in the NPRM. Once the final rule is published, we will provide more information on the changes. What I'd like to do next is move on to Chris Haw, my colleague, who is going to talk about some of the resources that CBP is developing to support our communications to the trade when that final rule does publish.
My name is Chris Haw, International Trade Specialist from Broker Management Branch of Subtrade. I'm going to go over a few next slides with you. Resources for brokers. We have developed a dedicated webpage for information on the modernization of Customs Broker Regulation 19 CFR 111. So if you go to Customs Brokers main page at cbp.gov and click Modernization of Customs Broker Regulations, that's going to take you to the 111 dedicated webpage. On the dedicated webpage, we have uploaded information such as overview of modernization of broker regulations, some of the highlights and proposed change that CBP recommended, and overview of national permit transition process information. We also include links to NPRM for modernization of the customs broker regulations and elimination of customs broker district permit fee, which were published in 2020. We've been working on developing education materials such as fact sheets on topical issues, side-by-side regulation comparison chart, which highlight differences between the current regulations and the future regulations, FAQs, and other information to support regulatory changes. All these documents and information will be found at that 111 dedicated webpage once the final rule is published. We will also share with you future webinar information and PowerPoint slides used during webinars through that dedicated webpage. We are going to leave the link to the webpage in the chat room for you, and we strongly recommend visit the webpage when you have a chance. Next slide, please. So broker guidance. We've been working on developing customs broker guidance. The document's official name is Customs Broker Guidance for the Trade Community. The guidance is aligned with the current CBP policies and practices at both headquarters and field offices. It also reflects the regulation changes incorporated in 19 CFR 111 final rule. The guidance covers various topics from customs broker tests to broker licensing process, national permit, triennial report process, and so on. The guidance contains some sample forms and documents that CBP use in communication with the trade. The guidance also contains some CBP headquarter rulings on various broker-related topics and issues. Again, once the final rule is published, we will upload this guidance document at the 111 dedicated webpage at cbp.gov. You will not miss the publication of guidance document because we will send out a CSMS message to notify you of the publication of final rule and guidance documents. And the CSMS message will include the link to the place where the guidance document will be saved and found. So please stay tuned. I'll turn it over to Jimmy.
Tori, can you go to the next slide, please? Okay, so I'm going to give you some rundown on the National Permit Transition Process. So in the NPRM, CBP has proposed that we would provide guidance to those brokers with only a district permit explaining the process to transition their district permit to a national permit. The Broker Management Branch has been working on developing that process, and I want to give you some information about how we expect that process to work. So currently we have about 400 brokers that are operating throughout the nation with only a district permit. They do not have a national permit. Our plan is to transition this pool of brokers to a national permit sometime between the publication date and the effective date of the final rule. So that this pool of brokers will have a national permit which mirrors their current district permit set up and ready to go. The current district permits for those, that pool of brokers, will remain active until the final rule effective date. And of course the ACE national permit program is in place. To set up the national permit, CBP will be using the broker's current district permit information. So that national permit will mirror the district permit and it will be sitting pending, waiting until it needs to come into use. Each broker that's transitioned to a national permit will be notified that the pending national permit has been created, and they'll be given an opportunity to provide CBP with any address or permit qualifier information updates for that's needed for that document or that permit. CBP will be sending out more information on this process once we're ready to begin creating the transition. And that's the extent of that piece I have for you. I think we are now available for questions. Tori, if you want to move on to the last slide. And I'll hand it over to Mama.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Melba Hubbard with the Broker Management Branch, and we do have some questions in the chat. Keep in mind, if you do want to ask a question, please provide it in the chat. Our first question, will there be a more clear determination of what customs business is?
Why do you
want
to take it?
And I can start, and if you want to add, that works as well. So I guess the short answer is, I think no. There's already a clear definition in the statute. As you all know, 1641 and 19 CFR, we have a regulatory definition in 111.1. Sorry, 19 U.S.C. for the statute. And then there has been a ruling with a very in-depth analysis of what customs business covers in a 2017 ruling, and I can put the ruling number in the chat if necessary. And then otherwise, it really is a case-by-case assessment, depending on the scenario. And as you all know, brokers can always request a ruling if there's a specific situation that is not covered by those definitions and the requester needs an answer on. Janine, if you want to add anything.
Nope, that was perfect.
All right, thank you, Claudia. Our second question, will we receive a copy of the slides after the webinar is over today? This is the second question. And I would like to say the information that we're providing from today's webinar is listed on our cbp.gov. Broker page, and we would invite you to look at this information on cbp.gov. All right, third question, good question. Do any of the plan changes affect self-filing importers? Not sure if Chris or Janine want to take that question, but again, the question is, do any of the planned changes affect self-filing importers?
That is a good question, and I'm going to say that they don't directly affect a self-filing importer because these are Section 111 pertains to brokers, but they might have an effect on self-filing importers only in that
for instance, brokers who have a breach of their records would need to report that to CBP, which would impact an,
well, actually it wouldn't if you're a self-filing importer, so I just misspoke there. So at this moment, I can't call out anything specifically that will affect a self-filing importer in this regulatory exchange.
All right, thank you, Janine.
So that was a long no.
Thank you. All right, next question. We have some good questions here. Will CBP maintain a national database of broker license numbers for research by importers to determine current license status?
CBP does publish the brokers that are actively transacting customs business, meaning brokers with permits, are published both locally at the port level. They are available, and they are available on our website for viewing. We do not publish all licenses that have been issued to everyone nationally. But if they're transacting customs business, that is publicly available.
All right, thank you, Janine. The next question. For compliance purposes, should we confirm our electronic records are stored in servers that are in the U.S. territory?
I believe you should be reading the ruling that I mentioned, and I'm going to find the number here. The ruling number is headquarters ruling 292868. I believe that discusses electronic records held by third-party providers for the broker. And then those should be within the United States.
All right, our next question. How much time is there between publication date and effective date of the final rule?
We expect that the time frame will be somewhere between 30 and 60 days.
All right, thank you. Okay, we're looking to see, okay. Here's the next question. For those already on a national permit, will we just remain, and how do we submit our responsible supervision plan?
I'm sorry, Mella, can you repeat that question for me?
Absolutely. For those already on a national permit with a national permit, will we just remain, and how do we submit our responsible supervision control? If I could support right here, I think, you know, those details will come out with the final rule, but please, Claudia or Janine, jump in and provide any other additional details you might want to add there.
Just maybe to add, I think the first time you read the question, and maybe I misheard, you talked about the supervision plan. And we did propose in the NPRM, if that was the question, the NPRM, that for someone who was applying for a national permit, a supervision plan would be an additional document to be submitted. So what we proposed is at the time of national permit application. So for someone who is, we didn't propose for someone currently has a national permit to provide that supervision plan, but with the final rule, there will be guidance included in the final rule and on CBP's website on how current national permit holders would have to go about.
Okay, thank you, Claudia. Next question. Will the national permit be one time or annually?
The national permit will operate how our current national permit operates. So brokers are apply for a national permit. We grant the national permit, and annually the broker owes a user fee. However, the permit remains active as long as you submit your user fee until such time as you choose to cancel it, or, you know, if there were a revocation action that took place.
Okay. And I do see a number of questions here. A couple of times I see a question, really good question, regarding the licensed broker, you know, ratio to staff. And those details will certainly will be provided at the final rule. That's not something that we can, you know, provide a, you know, numbers today, but we are very happy to hear those questions because it kind of helps us to focus, you know, our guidance. So I appreciate those, definitely appreciate those questions. And let me look and see if we have any additional questions. All right, next question. Will the new rule detail requirements regarding continuing education at CEUs? So I'm assuming that means continuing education units for the individual brokers.
So I will take that question. The final rule will cover only proposals from the NPRM. There was a proposal for continuing education that was published separately by CBP, and CBP will separately adjudicate comments that were received on those and will publish a final rule that corresponds with that NPRM. So this final rule will only cover the topics that we proposed changes to or new regulations that we proposed from the NPRM from 2020.
And I do have someone who asked, Janine, if you could reshare the ruling number. I didn't quite catch it, so I'm sorry I didn't get that written down. But if you could reshare that ruling number for, I believe, the U.S. territory requirement.
Headquarters ruling 292868.
All right, thank you very much. Someone asked here, if we could please repeat the new triennial fee. I think it was the I don't know if it
there,
was the triennial fee, but it was, you know, the fee increase that.
There is no fee increase for triennials. So there's no triennial fee increase. That remains $100. The proposal, the NPRM proposes to increase the individual license application fee, processing fee, from $200 to $300, and the corporate or organizational license application fee from $200 to $500. Those are the only proposed fee amount changes.
Thank you, Janine. Let's see here. There are any additional questions? Okay, next question. Does the NPRM address the requirement for annual training needs to maintain a broker's license? If not, what is the latest on this? I can repeat that.
So I think Claudia just answered that.
Okay.
piece. So the continuing education and background.
Yes, anything related to training, continuing education, CVP covered in the NPRM that was published this year, I believe, last year. I'm not as familiar with that one. It is not covered in this final rule. There will be a separate final rule.
All right, a number of people have requested the ruling. We did repeat that ruling number. Right. That ruling number 292868, headquarters ruling 292868. Just make sure everybody got it. All right. Next question. Can brokers contract people in Mexico to prepare entries?
Go ahead.
I'm going to say that would be considered customs business. And that is cannot be done outside of the U.S.
Okay, thank you.
I was only going to add, if it's, you know, very fact specific, I think the general answer Janine provided, but if they're, you know, fact specific to a certain scenario, then that depends. And the broker would have to request a ruling if it's something that needs to be decided.
Okay, here's a kind of a follow-up question, I think we kind of answered it, but the question is, when importers handle their own customs business tasks, does that also need to be done within the customs territory of the U.S.? I would say yes, but I'll let the panel answer that question. Any further comments on...
I don't know that yes is the answer, and I recommend that's not a question that we can answer on this webinar. I don't think the importers are set up. Importers are not subject to the same rules that brokers are in that regard. So I can't give an answer on that today. Let's find out who that is, and we can certainly provide them an answer after this.
Okay, happy to do that. Okay, let's see. The number of people did ask again for the ruling number. Okay, that's good. Somebody typed it in the chat. Okay, next question. Does the new regulations clarify transmitting data to CBP from a foreign country? I think that's one we're going to have to...
That's similar to what Claudia and I just spoke to. If you're transmitting your data from a foreign country to customs, that means probably you're transacting customs business in a foreign country, which is generally not allowed. If you have a specific scenario that you would like to seek our decision on, please submit it for a ruling.
Okay, thank you, Janine. Okay, next question. Will our local permit be terminated?
So if the NPRM proposal to transition to a single national permit occurs, then once CBP has ensured all brokers have been transitioned, all those, that pool of brokers I talked about has been transitioned to a national permit, and the final rule is in place, and the ACE programming is in place, CBP intends to shut down or turn off or cancel, however you want to call it, all local permits, correct? They will become defunct.
Thank you, Janine. Okay, I do want to acknowledge this question, and maybe one we have to take back, but I will provide, you know, this question. The next question is, what will be the guidelines to determine criminal activity and fraud as opposed to possible mistakes? And that might be one we need to take back, but I did want to acknowledge that question. Any comments from the panel, or should we take that back?
I think, Melba, you're right, we will take that back. If similar questions were, or comments were received with this question in the, to the NPRM, then it has also been addressed in the final rule. And if additional guidance, we believe is necessary, then this will also be provided once the final rule is published.
I think it's Jamie K. If you could elaborate on your question, how would a broker request to keep electronic records? Any changes on this new rule? I'm not quite sure what you mean by your question. If you could maybe rephrase your question, maybe if one of the panelists. I'm not sure. The question is, how would a broker request to keep electronic records? Any changes on this new rule? I'm not quite sure what that means, but please type in, retype your question. We'll be happy to answer it if we can.
So I will say there are no changes to the section. I should know this off the top of my head. Section, I think, 163, record keeping requirements. There are no changes to that section. So, I have 163, right? Yes, I do. So that's what you're referring to, a request for alternate methods of storage, that remains the same.
Okay, thank you, Janine. All right, scanning. I do have another question here. I'm not really sure what the acronym means, but it says, will USVI brokers be out of a job? USVI is not in customs territory. Is that Virgin Islands? Not really sure what
yes, that's US Virgin Islands.
Okay.
Claudia, maybe you can speak to that, perhaps, that these regulations apply to customs brokers within the U.S. customs territory, including Puerto Rico.
I'm not sure. I'd like to take that question back and provide the answer later.
Okay, thank you. All right, let's see. All right, let's see, a couple of comments about the ruling number. Let's see if there's any additional questions here. Here's a quick question. Let's see, where are we on time? Okay, good, we're good for time. Is billing for customs entry considered customs business? So it might depend on who's being billed, but I'll leave that for the panel.
There is a section about customs fit. There is a section in 111 on billing, I believe. If you're not going to send the bill, if the broker is not sending the bill directly to the importer of record, The importer of record has to agree to a waiver for that.
All right, thank you, Janine. All right, here is a good question from Tracy. Will going to a national permit effectively do away with remote location filing? So basically, how will the national permit affect RLF filing process?
That is a very good question. So everything now basically is remote location filing. So some aspects of remote location filing become moot. I don't have any more information on that at this point, but we will have some information coming out later when we have a final rule in place.
Okay, thank you, Janine. Next question. Oops, a little blurry here, let's see. Has the issue of confidentiality between a broker, Has the issue of confidentiality between a broker and a data processing cloud host been addressed in the new regulations?
I would suggest, again, we can't talk about anything in the new regulations, but I would recommend that you read the NPRM to see what is discussed in there.
And I would add, if this was a question that was included in one of the public comments in response to the publication of the NPRM, then we did address such questions in the final rule.
Okay, let's see. All right, somebody was nice enough to post customs business definition. Thank you. Okay, there's some of the same questions regarding the ruling. Okay, here's a question. I think we're probably going to have to take this question back. The question is, ISF and inbound filing considered customs business, meaning they must be filed within the U.S. only, regardless if they are assigned to a broker or freight forwarder? So it's kind of a long question, but I can repeat that. Might sound something that we definitely need to take back.
I can say that inbound and ISF filing is not considered their customs business. Carriers of the freight forwarders can file inbound, and ISF can be filed by other than the customs broker and the importer.
All right, thank you, Janine. Okay, question. Next question. Will brokers still be managed locally even though there is no longer a district permit? Is the next question. So I can repeat that. Question.
A note from me. In the final rule, we will discuss on how CBP is going to be handling all national permit holders, and there will be information in time for anyone who needs to adjust to have that information available.
Thank you, Claudia. Thank you. Okay, here's the next question. Regarding the published list of brokers, it seems this list is only updated every couple of years. Is there a reason why this isn't actively updated with new broker information as it changes? Our goal is to update our broker list on CBP.gov quarterly. Occasionally, we don't quite hit it on the mark, but certainly we do try to do quarterly updates for the broker list. All right.
And then if they are talking about the filer code list, I'm not sure if that's it. They are correct in that it has been in the most recent years been updated every 2 years.
Oh, 2 years? Okay.
That's the filer code list that we publish, which literally just lists the filer code and the associated entity name.
Right. Thank you for that clarification. All right. Let's see. So there are a number of questions on the POA process requirements from the broker. I just wanted to mention we do see those questions in there. Those questions will definitely be addressed in the final rule. Details will be provided at that time. So today's comments were about the NPRN, and we definitely want to. But again, we definitely want to acknowledge those questions are here. And so we do appreciate your comments and your input. So it helps us to focus our information. So we will be addressing that those issues in the final rule.
Yeah, we'll address them in our information on our public-facing website after the final rule publishes and before it's effective.
And I see we are getting close to time, but I do have one question that I want to throw out to the panelists. So the next question here is how the brokers will be managed at the centers. So the question is, can you discuss how brokers will be managed via the center? Well, it says C's, but the center.
Yeah, and I think that answer Claudia already gave a couple minutes ago, that the final rule will provide additional information from what the NPRM currently says. We'll provide additional information in the final rule on that. And also, of course, on our public-facing website.
I think we have time for one or two additional questions. Let me see here. I believe this would be customs business. The question is, would customs business include responding via email to import specialists and responses to CF-28s and 29s, which are, requests for information and actions taken? So the question is whether those activities qualify as customs business. Anyone on the panel want to take that question? All
see if we can take it back.
Okay, I think we have time for one more question. I do see a few. Someone did ask if we could show the slides again. Unfortunately, we are out of time. I don't think we can get through, you know, the slides again. I'm trying to see if they're...
I do want to say, I think, Melby, you already said this, but the information on the slides that we just presented, most of that information is on our dedicated webpage that is on the modernization of the customs broker regulations that is available now in our on CBP.gov. So you can certainly go there to see pretty much all the information that we have on the slides.
Okay, we do have just a couple minutes left, and so I do want to make sure I turn it over to any of our panelists for closing remarks and our director, Sherry McCann, for any last ending comments, rather.
Before I jump in, any of the panelists have additional comments for closing?
I guess I will say, and I know it's repetitive, but any public comments CBP received in response to the NPRM have been looked at, have been reviewed, we've been taking them into consideration, and they will be discussed and addressed in the final rule. Any concerns you address there will be addressed in the final rule. And as the other panelists have mentioned before, we will have sufficient or more than sufficient, you know, lots of guidance that will be coming out once the final rule is published. And there will be enough time for brokers to read through those new changes that will be coming and adjust any make any adjustments that are needed to their business. Thank you.
Well said, Claudia. Thank you. And thanks, everybody. I appreciate your time. Webinar and presentation will be posted on CBP.gov. Much more information to come. We appreciate the dialogue with everyone. As a refresh again on the proposed changes in the NPRM for our broker regulations. And, once we get closer to publication, once we get to publication, we will have a host of guidance available and follow-up webinars, and so we look forward to your ongoing participation. Many thanks for the questions. We will follow up on those that we can answer, and we will work. I did see a question on this. We will work to get FAQs posted on CBP.gov for everyone's visibility for the questions that we are able to answer in advance of the final rule publication. All right, everyone. Thanks very much for your time, and enjoy your afternoon and your weekend. Thank you.